Got it up, percolate.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another installment of Banff. This morning, we have me, Alice Pang, sitting in the hostess seat. Walt's on vacation still, or he's been abducted by aliens. We're still not sure which one. By alien, I mean a dog named Balder, okay? And Mike, unfortunately, can't make Saturday mornings. But with me today is Brandon Powers.
Howdy, howdy.
Our good friend Nick Garber of Apogee Comics, CEO of Apogee Comics.
Greetings and salutations.
And today we are joined by Richard Rogers, who is going to talk to us about his brand new Kickstarter, Hit the Streets. It is a superhero RPG that is Marvel Knights / Daredevil inspired. So I'm really excited to hear more about
this. Where's the link? I'm buying it. I'm in.
Exactly, right?
You said Daredevil. I'm in. I'm a huge Daredevil fan. Rich, I'll show you my Daredevil mask here in a second. But
oh, yeah. I want to see it.
Huge Daredevil fan. Ever since
I've gotten you at least one person to invest in your Kickstarter from this.
I know. Yes. Yes. It's Hit the Streets, Defend the Block. Yes.
Oh, God. I'm so in.
So, Rich, please tell us about it. What made you decide to develop this and what the setting is like?
Yeah, what's the elevator pitch on Defend the Block?
So Hit the Streets, Defend the Block is a game about street-level supers, and it's inspired by primarily like the Marvel Netflix series, Daredevil, Luke Cage, the Defenders, where everybody got together, as well as the Marvel Knights comics and CW's Black Lightning. Oh, dude, that is so cool. I love that mask. That's fantastic. Wow. So in the game, it's you asked about a setting, and one of the things that I love about Hit the Streets, Defend the Block is that in the game, every group that gets together, you're going to create the neighborhood that you defend. So there's a little bit of kind of map creation that happens together, and you get to know your characters a little bit on the real world, like what they do day to day before they're the costume vigilantes. And then you also will carry through and figure out what it is you're fighting against. So it's a very collaborative experience in creating what the heroes are about, although I don't really call them heroes in the game because, you know, may not always be the most heroic because it's a little bit on the gray rather than just a pure black and white experience.
Well, I actually personally know that you are a fan of masks, so I'm assuming there's some influence from that. What kind of how is the system set up for collaborating for the building that you were talking about?
Absolutely. I am a big fan of masks. I was lucky enough to be part of the playtest for masks back in the day. I've run it and played it quite a bit. But in masks, you're usually playing young adults, teenage superheroes, make a lot of mistakes. This is a very different style game. You can play grown-ups here. You play people that have day jobs. You play people that have regular troubles. They might have a kid on the way, or they might have a job that's in jeopardy of being outsourced somewhere else. But talking about the collaboration, I've run this primarily online, but I've also run it face-to-face. You sit down with, say, like a Google Drawings, and the GM will kick things off by drawing Main Street. And then once everybody has an idea of who their characters are, you'll each draw a street where your character lives. And then you go on a second round, and you need to come up with features of the neighborhood, like what are some important notable figures? Is there a particular politician here, like an alderman? Or is there maybe the local weatherman is important and happens to live in your neighborhood? And so you go around for that. You have city parks. You have gathering hangouts. What's the cool bar that everybody goes to? And so you go around, and when you look at it, like, yeah, maybe it doesn't look exactly like a real city.
Would the bar be Josie's?
Yes, it would have to be Josie's for you. So at the end of the day, at the end, a couple rounds, you have a pretty good idea of what this block is about. And so that's the collaboration. And then you, after that step of creating the neighborhood, you create who are your rivals? Do you have another team that are, maybe they're working for a corporation that's trying to move into the neighborhood, or perhaps they're just other do-gooders who go, quote unquote, do-gooders who maybe take things a little too far, a little too much to the extreme. So those rivals are an important part of play. And you kind of, you know, it's usually messy. Like a question that happens in there is, which one of you have some kind of relationship with a member of your rival team? And so it builds up a little bit of that. It's my, one of my friends, kind of the soap opera drama, right? And that's generally what the collaboration is in all the setup that happens at, when you kick off a game, hit the streets to end the block.
Awesome. That's... What kind of dice mechanic are you using on it?
So the dice mechanic system is based off of a big game that was an inspiration for me called One Percenter, the outlaw biker game. It is basically Sons of Anarchy, the RPG. It is awesome. So it's a D6 system, and you're building a pool of dice by figuring out how you're approaching the conflict at hand. Build up a bunch of six-sided dice. You roll them all in one big group against a GM set difficulty number, and you're looking for evens. So it's pretty quick to resolve, and it's built for a conflict resolution. So you're trying to build your die pool to take care of most challenges in one go, because in that die result, if it's a stressful situation, then you can actually take damage based off of some of the dice results that you get. So the good news is it runs really fast. Rather than having something where you can maybe have five or six goes back and forth, you're often going to handle it in a couple of comic book panels, right? It's something that can be done quickly. You can resolve that and then deal with a follow-up after the fact.
Cool. So it sounds like it's one of those success ands or success buts type systems.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Alice.
Okay, cool. Nick, did you have a question?
No. I'm over here just like, when are we playing?
Well, that's actually something we are going to be trying this game out ourselves soon, but we'll talk about that another time. Brandon, what about you? What's next?
My question is, hearing about defend the block, hit the streets, and that you're defending a fairly small area, you're very grim and gritty superheroes that don't mind, from what I understand from looking at the Kickstarter, you know, death is an acceptable solution, so they're not your four color. Can I play a minor meta shinobi testudinata?
I'm not sure what those last half of that is.
Yeah, you lost me too, Brandon.
Well, a minor would be somebody that's not, you know, an adult. A meta, you know, somebody that has superpowers.
Those first two parts.
Shinobi is, you know, a martial arts trained person that's sometimes wrapped up in their pajamas. And a testudinata is, people might identify them as turtles.
You want to be a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
I did not want to use those words, but yes, exactly that. That is what I want.
My friend, you've tickled me, and so I must say, yes, there is got to be a way to make that happen. I can't believe you constructed that sentence to ask me and fool me into saying, yes, you can make a team.
Brendan is very intelligent.
So what is the focus on the system? There are some systems and some games that specifically are built for when superheroing, that it's only focusing on the superhero life or focusing primarily on the personal life. What is the mix here between superhero and alter ego for your in the base design plan?
I would say, and of course, you know, whenever a game hits the table, the play group makes their own determinations. So I've seen games that run kind of an 80% superheroing, 20% real life. The way that I see it running most optimally is about a 60-40 split. 60% of the time, you're doing things that normal folks can't or won't do. Mm-hmm. 40% of the time, you're having to take care of business as a regular, everyday, mundane citizen. So the way that you do that as a regular person is that the GM can put into threat things that you care about that you can't just go punch somebody in the face to solve. So you may have to have conversations with other members of the neighborhood.
You're talking to the right playing group right here for guys that don't want to just... We use our intellect first, and then we go to fisticuffs.
That is awesome, because, like, to me, if you're defending a block, if you knock over a building taking out somebody, guess what? Some people lived in that building, or now you got...
Yeah, it's a PR nightmare.
You're like 12 minutes later to work every day because nobody gets to use the street that building fell on. So
and everyone hates you.
Yeah. They took out Gino's Pizzeria, you know, and that's my favorite place to eat, so...
And you update the map, right? Because you've got this living, breathing map. You took out that building. Now you need to make a mark there that, hey, that isn't there anymore. And maybe there's going to be construction for the next six
That's really years. Cool. That's a really cool aspect to the gaming mechanic is that
it's so much buy-in.
Yeah. You can level a city block if you're not careful. And then that's the block that, because this is small area heroes. I mean, street beaters, yeah. your Daredevils and your Punisher. I mean, he goes international, but whatever. But Daredevil.
The concept of Punisher.
Yeah.
The concept Daredevil, of Punisher.
You know, my time reading Daredevil's when he was dealing with Mephisto and such. That's like when I first started with his comic.
Yeah, in the 80s. That's when I got into. And then I fell in love with Frank Miller's run on it. You got me talking about Daredevil. We'll be here all damn day.
You know, some Spider-Mans, because Spider-Man changes from street level to intergalactic back and forth. Yeah. There aren't many games that cater to the small time, six block radius or small neighborhood superheroes.
Where you're dealing with Queens or Brooklyn or Hell's Kitchen, Harlem, you know, those types of things. I think that's a really cool dynamic. And I know I'm a newbie to the gaming world, but I have yet to see or hear anything like that. So I'm excited to jump into this world, man.
Well, the thing is, Nick, like, this game exists because I own like gigabytes of PDFs of Supers RPGs. And if this game was already out there that filled this niche, I would not go to the effort of the game, right?
So the universe abhors a vacuum and you found a specific slot that hasn't been catered to for the gaming community. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. That's from what we were hearing about the Kickstarter was one reason we wanted to have you on, because we are also people who have gigs and gigs of superhero. In fact, like I was saying, Walt is CEO of Hazard Studios, and unfortunately couldn't be here today, but Mike is the head of Fainting Goat. So both are superhero gaming companies as well. So definitely we all are big fans.
Yeah. But, yes. I've quite a few PDFs of your guys.
My collection is growing. I don't have gigs yet, but it's getting there.
Ask away.
Oh, yeah. So, Alice, you mentioned Spider-Man, and that brings to mind another thing about this game that I enjoy. So I'll kind of speak with D&D tech, because I think people are more comfortable with that.
Yeah, of course.
This game that you may not have heard of until now. Mm-hmm. So Spark is what keeps your superpower being or your character going, keeps them in the fight, keeps them wanting to defend the block and get things done. And as your spark wears down, if you ever hit the point where you run out, you don't have access to your superpowers anymore until you refresh them. And the ways that you can refresh them are very important for me, because there are things that you do without the mask, things like charity work. You can actually go in and be part of some kind of rebuilding a building that was taken down. Or in your regular street clothes, you help out with a fundraiser. You head down to a soup kitchen. You do those things. And it's just a quick scene. It's not something we're going to take up an entire session for, because we're here for the comics. But I like that, because it then can become, you reinforce that. You can maybe build some ties within the neighborhood. And it's really fun. And then the other part, which is the Spider-Man thing, is the part of the refreshing is patrolling the neighborhood and just taking down regular mundane criminals, right? The thing that Spider-Man does relatively well. You make a roll. It's actually just a single roll to try to refresh some of your spark, but you're going to have a quick scene where maybe there are a couple guys trying to break into the local pawn shop and try to steal something. And you go in, you take care of those guys, and then move on. But it's a nice little way to help reinforce your part of the block.
This actually reinforces one of my favorite parts of Spider-Man Homecoming, is where right at the beginning of the movie, he's just kind of going around the neighborhood as Spider-Man, and he's like giving a lady directions. He's like, is this your stolen bike? And he doesn't have a big purpose or anything, but he's patrolling. And it's something I don't really remember seeing, you know, just random patrolling outside of the main plot in the other Spider-Man movies that we had gotten.
Something that I loved. Right. Yeah, that was cool, because he is the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Exactly.
And in the earlier books, that's what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
and in a lot of superhero games, you know, that there's not that feature by all means. And not every single story can be that epic story. You've got to have the low points in order to experience high points. And so I think I like that a lot. Now, something when you were talking about Spark, though, it kind of makes me wonder, part of that supposed to be basically you burning out as motivation of just losing hope? Or
it makes me think of Amazing Spider-Man 50, where he hangs it up for the first time.
And yeah, that's
shooting the trash.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's how burning out works, is that, you know, I just don't think I'm making a difference anymore. So now you go out and you make a difference as a non-superhero. You see that there's still changes you can make, and that gives you the motivation to rebuild yourself and go, hey, I can do something. Let me don that mask back on.
Exactly. Yeah, awesome. Spark isn't just your body, right? It isn't just
drive.
Take
what it sounds like.
It's the drive. Sometimes someone can get put in the hospital when they run out of spark. Other times they could just, exactly like Nick said, throw it in the trash. Like, I'm giving up. Like, this isn't worth it to me anymore. And then you got to figure out what's the next step.
Later on, they have a flashback with Uncle Ben. You know, great power comes great responsibility. And you realize why you picked up the suit in the first place.
Yeah, cool. You know, every superhero goes through that heroic journey, not once, but like repeatedly through their time as a hero, because every couple of comics are like, I'm done with this. I'm just done. And so that's really cool that's the system for it. What about advancement?
Oh, so advancement is handled through experience points. It's a nice, comfortable, easy way to do it. At the end of every session, the group sits down and we call each session an issue, right? A little bit of comics terminology because it's fun.
I like that.
I talk about comic panels and issues, and sometimes I'll bundle stuff into a volume. Like, it's several, these six issues were one volume. So at the end of every issue, the entire table, not just the GM, because I find it a little weird sometimes that some of the, like, the GM comes down from on high and says, you did a good job. Here's your 26 XP. But you answer a few questions. The questions are, did you clash with somebody who threatened your neighborhood? Did you avoid open warfare that endangered regular civilians at least once? Did you defeat a villain or have a conflict with your rival team? And for every yes, everybody gets one XP. And then there are a couple of individual questions, which are, did you struggle with your normal or day-to-day obligations? Or did you support another teammate when they needed you? And if you answer yes to either of those, then your particular character will get a couple more XP.
Well, I'm certain that Alex will watch this later. So, Brandon, I'm just going to say, Lexa would have gotten a lot of extra personal XP, while certain other characters in that group would not have.
So what is character creation like? Because I'm the, out of my group, I'm generally the systems guy or the character creation guy that really...
And candy.
I'm always monkeying with things and trying to find the best way to model what somebody has described as their character. And sorry, so I'll come back with pitches and champions or mutants and masterminds or any of the games. What do you think about this? And almost always my players are like, hey, I want to try it.
Sorry, so, everyone. Nick has to flirt with Brandon. Otherwise, he just can't say that he had a good day.
I got to keep my baby happy.
Rich, what? Go ahead.
You know, it's good. It's good. This is good. Nick and Brandon are...
We're a fun group, yes.
Yes. So the character creation is pretty, I've found it to be something you can create a character in 15, 20 minutes, especially if you come in with an idea, because some people can look over. There are 9 broad groups of powers that I've found cover everything that a street level super that I've seen or people have asked me about. The one power that we don't have and won't have is that a player character can't fly. Because it's a street level game. If you could fly away from your problems, well, you're not very street level anymore. So you have a couple of powers that you start with. You have, you can assign 1 or 3 to the ratings of modes. And modes are just, how are you going to do this thing? And the 2 modes are be normal or be super. Be normal is a thing that everybody could try, and be super is the thing that makes you special, makes you paranormal or metahuman, whatever you want to call it. And then after you do your modes, you have several stats that you will assign 1 to 3 points into. You figure out what your niche on the team is, and that can give you another D6 if you're fulfilling that role. So like if the thing is the guy who's being super strong and supportive of the team, then he's going to add in that team role. Or if, say, the beast wants to spout off something smart and strategic, or if Spidey is being smart aleck, then you're going to throw in that team role. And then your powers are pretty broad because they'll add two dice if you bring it into your overall dice pool. So I'm pretty flexible as a GM in allowing people who are really creative, like, oh, I really think that I need to be able to blink in and out of here. My movement power, I'm going to blink in and out. And by doing that, I'll discombobulate the villain. Okay, cool. You're using that power. Bam, add that to your total dice pool. And then the last thing is how much spark are you committing to the rule? Because not only spark like a hit points, but you can burn up that spark to add to a die roll to build your pool a little bit higher. And that's generally the character creation system. It's pretty quick and easy.
Cool. That sounds really cool. There's a lot of elements to this one that I think can be really engaging and have a lot of fun with. So I would really look forward to trying it myself. Yeah. Anybody have any other questions for Rich?
What? Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I have nothing. So I defer to you, my friend.
Okay. So if somebody's coming and they're like us, I've got a bunch of superhero games, and if I wanted to do street level, I think that I could maybe use AMP or a version of AMP or maybe like Ninjas and Super Spies. What would you say, other than that street level approach, is the unique thing that should make somebody want to come and say, I'm going to back, defend the block, hit the streets?
Oh, this is tough because I want to talk highly of Hit the Streets, Defend the Block, but I don't want to disparage other Supers RPGs that do things in their own way, right?
Yeah.
Everything does it in their own way. And like, you know, we said, three of us here have tons of superhero games.
Absolutely. So, and like,
we love them all.
I play a lot of Supers RPGs. To me, the thing that Hit the Streets, Defend the Block, it has that very specific lens. It's quick and easy to learn. A conflict can be resolved within the space of, you know, 5 minutes to 15 minutes. So a big fight against a bad guy is not a thing that's going to take an entire game session. So I like the mix of Hit the Streets, Defend the Block, because I have lots of times for that superhero drama, you know, that little bit of angsting that's going on, or on the flip side, the ability to enjoy the successes that we have and have a bit of camaraderie, as well as putting on the domino mask and going out and pounding the streets. So that's what I would say.
That brings an interesting question to my mind. What, how much crunch do you have for people to sink into, for those that aren't new and have been veterans? Because for me, for example, I generally prefer things on the heavier side of systems, things like Hero System. That's one of my favorite systems of all time. But I also love Supers Red. Gotta plug that. But Supers Red is a lighter system, but it does have depth to it as you go into it. I don't know if you're familiar with playing it, Rich, but it's kind of like a zoomed out version of Hero System. So as you build powers, you can build them to more minute abilities.
It allows you, the more that you want to put in to the character, it does allow you that while not demanding it like champions might.
Yeah, and so it has the crunch element that I'm looking for that I can really sink my teeth into on the system at the same time. And there are other systems that on the very far end of super, super light, like Ghost Echo, I'll enjoy playing that. I played that 4 times, and I love it every time, but it's not something I can go back and play all the time. So what about your system? Where does it sit on the spectrum?
I would say that it sits on the spectrum of a lighter system built for mini series of campaigns. This is not the game where you're going to sit down and play the same character for 9-12 months. You know, because with the advancement system as it's built, person isn't necessarily going to be very street level after 6 months of play. Really, I see the sweet spot for this game, 7 to 10 game sessions. And then if you really love the story you're telling, then you're super power being maybe inspire someone else. You go back to the well, you keep the neighborhood where it is, maybe age it up a few years, and then create a whole new team and have them exist like a legacy style game. That's what I would say for longer. But if you really want to get granular about your particular powers, enhance and grow those, there are other games that are better built for that.
Cool. Nope. That's a That's really good information to have.
What you're talking about on that just reminds me of a scene I really liked out of New Avengers, is when Luke Cage takes the team to literally just sit on a block in Detroit or Chicago, I think it is. And because if you just saturate an area with the officers, then crime will go down. But when the officers are gone, crime doesn't necessarily go up. And so that, you know, with that, people might move on, but they can inspire and have that long-term effect on the neighborhood. I think that's pretty cool.
Thanks. Thanks, Brandon.
Nick, you look like you want to say something.
No, I okay. do not. No, I just, I'm, like I said, I'm a newbie, so I don't have a whole lot of knowledge and experience, but I am learning. I was just looking over the Kickstarter. The video is really awesome. It's very captivating. Draws you in, makes you want to, like, okay, I want to know more about this world. I want to play. It's very impressive that you are like 225% funded at this point, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yep. Plus, you just got another $50 from me. So,
wow, thanks, man. That's awesome.
Brandon and I should already be backing it. I should double check. But I believe Brandon and I are intending to back it. So.
Oh, great. Thank
no, but it looks like you have a really awesome team that's on, you know, contributing to this. The artwork is clean. The layout is awesome from the samples that you have on here.
That's coming from a literal artist. He actually is the CEO and artist for Apogee Comics. So coming from a pro there.
Yeah. Yeah, coming from a comic publisher, you know, it's something that I would be more than happy to stamp my logo on and put my name on. It's a very clean, professional looking product, which is great.
Thank you.
Well,
you know,
cool. It sounds like
soups to nuts. I mean, it's a good looking product, and I can't wait to have it in my greedy little hands and play.
Well, it sounds like we have a pretty good amount of answers.
Speaking of that, where are you in production at this point? I'm certain I could go to the Kickstarter and get an answer, but some people like me are lazy.
So the game is fully written and playable. I have run it about 20 times recently just to make sure, sound it out. I've had a number of other GMs who've run it as well. I feel very confident that it delivers the kind of product that I want. We have a number of art assets that are already completed. The layout designer is in process right now. And the expectation is I tried to set a realistic goal, but I also wanted to deliver it quickly. So the expectation is that everyone will have books in their hands by the end of the year.
Wow, that's awesome.
Oh, it mentions the beta. When does that go live?
It's live.
You it's live it? Right now?
Oh, yeah, man. Jump in. Yeah. It only has a couple of art pieces in it because the rest of them, I want to make sure the layout artist puts it exactly where it'll have the most impact.
If you need filler art, let me know. I got plenty.
I will mark that down, man. Thank you.
Wow, Nick's offering. That's awesome.
Yeah, Nick, actually, we had a gaming extravaganza yesterday. Sadly, his internet cut out on him, but he rolled up an Icons character on the day before and had a piece of art that he spent part of his morning putting together so that we'd have the artistic representation. And
like hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, your Siafu art was awesome, and I was so sad that your internet blew up right before we
It was getting so good, too. I just got into the gorilla's inner ear because I shrank down, and I was about to have some fun, and then all of a sudden, and it didn't come back on until 4 in the morning. I stayed up waiting for it to kick back on.
Oh, man. You know, Icons is such a good game. Like, that game is almost, it almost was the kind of game that I would have run instead of this. I really like Icons. It's super good.
Well, Icons, I think, definitely does not look at that, you know, we're going to be in a small area. It's trying to do that Justice League Unlimited cartoon level of play.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you the screen share on the portrait. I guess I'll just
So while you're doing that, I'll just talk with Nick about the art. So thank you so much.
There's the screen share.
That's awesome.
He did that an hour and a half while he was playing in a game I was GMing, by the way.
Wow.
In an hour and a half. And that's only the bus shot. He showed me that he drew past that in the rest of it. So. Wow.
Yeah, I need to do a full, do the whole full body. I was just playing around with on my iPad with Procreate because I get images stuck in my head and I'll literally start getting a headache until I can get them down on paper. So
All the my primary artist is Alex Prinz, who lives in Norway, and so mm-hmm. all the pieces that you see on the Kickstarter are his. He's one of the stretch goals that we're not a stretch goal, but one of the tiers is that you can ask him to draw your team. You can have him draw an individual superpower being for you, and one of my like strong desires is to get him some exposure. He's a good friend of mine. He plays in my Sunday game with me, and I want to get him as much exposure as possible. I think he's amazing. I really like his art. So I'm glad to hear that, Nick, that you like it. And wow, that picture is good.
I started out as an artist. I had to become a writer because when I started doing this crazy thing of independent publishing, like the groups that you have out there now for, you know, merging writers and artists together to collaborate wasn't existent yet. So I had to learn how to do everything from writing to coloring, lettering, all of that stuff. So I've developed quite an eye for artwork and now writing and scripts and stuff like that. So anytime I see something that catches my eye and captivates me and starts what I call the movie in my head, you know, so if I'm reading something and it starts playing like a movie in my head, I know it's good, at least for me. So
well, that's awesome. Well,
so why don't you quickly just tell us about the tiers that you've got and the stretch goals that you guys are looking at?
I was just about to ask that. I literally had that written down to at the next moment.
So the tiers I'll go through quickly for you. The first tier, of course, is a person who just wants a taste, the thing that I always like to put out there. You get access to the beta, which is a Google document. There are comments turned on. So if you see something you have a question about, it's why it's a beta, right? Mm-hmm. At the $9 level, you'll get a PDF version through DriveThruRPG. At $20 or more, you'll get the physical, which is a soft cover.
I love the name of that tier. Dead tree. I saw that and I was like, yeah, that's what it is, but I want to
dead tree.
And then I put an extra $30 on top of it because
you're the best. That's awesome.
It was awesome. That's cracking me up.
Well, you made Rich feel like he just got paid coming on for half an hour today.
Yeah, he did. He just got paid $50.
Yeah, he got paid by us too. So we just made sure we pledged.
Awesome. Y'all got any more of those games?
We're getting a dead tree also. We're getting good.
You got me hooked on this interactive world of Smack, pretty much. You know, I got to get my next fix.
At $85, you can have Alex draw a superpower being for you. At $99, I will run the game for you. And at $99, one of the members of the Lost Highway Games team who works for Slugfest Games, Jen Kitzman, she'll run the game for you. Or you can also get Tyler Lominak, who's a good buddy of mine, who's also run the game quite a bit. He is another person, and he's already gotten – someone's already backed him for a sweet $99 to have him run the game. That'll be an online Hangout session, or with Hangouts on Air going away at the end of the month, then it will be either through Discord or a free program called Jitsi. We'd work it out with you after the Kickstarter is concluded. And then for $135, that's the big tier, is to draw a whole team. Alex will draw your team. And it didn't put a number, but probably going to keep it around four characters because I don't want to break the guy's back. He's also doing a bunch of...
I have the Legion of Superheroes. Draw them.
Dang it!
Then you get stick figures back. I drew them. Are you happy now?
So one of the things, I was at Origins in June and I ran Hit the Streets, Defend the Block. And, you know, originally, like I said, the game's designed to run 7 to 10 sessions. So the spin up time or getting stuff ready can take a little bit, right? Because you can make your character 15 minutes easy. But then you draw the neighborhood, then you talk about your rival team, you figure out how your team knows each other, and it can take a good bit of time. So one of the things that I found out while running the game is, wow, if you want to run this at a con or just a one shot, it's a little bit of a challenge. So that challenge is what the stretch goals are all about in Hit the Streets, Defend the Block. The Kickstarter, every time that we've unlocked so far three stretch goals, and those are play sets. So say, hey, you just want to get together with some friends, and let's say that, you know, Jill didn't show up, and so you can't play your regular game. You want to do a one-shot of Hit the Streets, Defend the Block. Well, these play sets are going to be PDFs that are pay what you want on DriveThruRPG. You download that. It's going to be a few pages. It will have a neighborhood that's there for you, is already kind of pregnant with possibilities and challenges. And then you can step in, create your superpower beings, create your team, and be up and running in less than half an hour. So that's what the stretch goals are all about. We've unlocked three of them so far. And then the fourth one is one that I'll be writing. And the other one that I'm really excited about is from a guy named Zedek Siu, who's a writer for old school Renaissance or like, OSR style games. Mm-hmm. He's really, mm-hmm. really sharp. And he is writing a pitch for if we get 200 backers of a physical book, because if we can have 200 backers, that'll afford me the ability to go with an offset print run, which I'm pretty excited about. But for right now, if we don't reach that goal, then it'll be all print on demand through DriveThruRPG, which is also really good quality.
Well, when I looked over the Kickstarter, I guess I must have glanced over the pledge to have Alex draw something. So I changed my pledge because I want Alex to draw something.
Yes, I will tell Alex.
I love keeping artists busy, so I definitely love having other artists draw my stuff. So that's what I'm going to have, and I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, and the piece of art that he did that I really like is Mist, which ironically Alice has a character in a project of hers that it is not the right coloration. But she's a genius with Photoshop, and I could easily see her going, oh, I'm going to yoink that, recolor it, and now use that as, if she has to show a player what that looks like. Oh, this is what he kind of looks like. And it really evoked that character to me, Alice, and I thought that was a great piece of art.
Well, the concept design on all these characters is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Mist. The one thing about Mist from the Ghost Project is his Mist, when he comes out... It's very similar by all means, but he's got the tendrils as well of which this one doesn't have. But yeah, I definitely saw that. I was like, oh, cool. There's a
love tendrils. Tendrils is a lovely power in comic book form. It's so cool. I love drawing them. I love drawing tendrils or characters that have them.
Well, you've read about the character mm-hmm. already, so.
Oh yeah, played like a movie in my head. So you get a gold star from low-level functionary Nick Garber.
But anyways, yeah, that's awesome. I'm certain that with what you said, there are plenty of our followers that would be very interested in going and checking you out. Is there anything you wanted to add before we close up?
I just want to say thank you so much for reaching out. I've listened to Banff. I remember when you guys played City of Mist. And as AP for that, and I listened to it because I'm like, oh yeah, I want to know how this game plays, and I really enjoyed that AP. So having you guys have me on has been really wonderful, and I can't wait to run it for Babies with Knives.
Awesome!
I can't wait either. I'm super stoked.
Yeah, we like to do actual plays on both Banff and on Babies with Knives, but Banff, we have very short time slots, and so for a lot of actual plays, it's very rough. For Babies with Knives, we're focused on actual plays, so people block out the 4 hours that's necessary or the 6 hours that's necessary for
a lot
of games.
Yeah, on Banff, we do the shorts, mm-hmm. no more than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, well, thank you everyone for listening. As we said, go check out Hit the Streets, Defend the Block by Richard Rogers right now on Kickstarter, and we'll be putting a link on the description. Bye.
Hit the streets, defend the block.